Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with John Rankin of the New Music Inferno. This episode is pretty special to me because in several bands that I've performed in, namely Lido Beach and Greenlight Theory, John was among the first people to have us on his show. And he features bands large and small, actually very large and very small, on his show, and he's a good guy. And it's a really cool show called New Music Inferno. So it's going to be a podcaster having a podcaster on. But oftentimes I'm not sure what to tell people about Idobe, if it's a podcast or a radio show. I like to think radio show, but you can go on iTunes, as you know, and download it as a podcast. So thanks again to John for being on the show. We're recording it on Valentine's Day, so it's lovely, but it's obviously airing today, which is not Valentine's Day. The next few weeks, we have Brittany Danielle, who works at the Manifest Group. She is an artist manager, and she's the assistant to Derek Brewer, who is an artist manager in his own right. He manages Crown the Empire, Volumes, Dance Gavin Dance, so pretty much every single heavy band that you see on Warped. He has had something to do with them. It's pretty rad. The following week, we've got R. Wayne Martin, who's been managing for years and years, for several decades, actually. So I plan to learn a bunch from him. The following week, we've got Dan LeBron, who works at his own label called Downport Records, and he also did a lot of consulting for Razor and Tie, which is pretty sweet. They have Star Set and The Pretty Reckless. And then the following week, we have Shane Henderson from the band Valencia, and also Promise of Redemption. I've been going with less actual on-air talent, like musicians and more behind the scenes, but I wanted to highlight Mr. Henderson. Also, he is on No Hope Records, where I've had Sean Dorsey, you know, on the show, and as well as Mr. Self Help Me himself. So a bunch of weeks are packed out. I'm actually booked till mid-August, which is kind of nuts when I tell people that. And also, you can find this episode and many others on iTunes, on the Idobe site, anywhere you look. So every Tuesday night at 5 o'clock my time, Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time, the show is live. Well, it's not live, but it debuts. And on Sunday mornings at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. is not it. 8 a.m. Eastern. I need more coffee. I need more Rankin. I need more love. Stick around for Walden's Words. Thank you. Hello, welcome to Walden's Words on actual Valentine's Day. You can't listen to this right now on Valentine's Day, but the two of us can, with Mr. John Rankin of the New Music Inferno. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Scott. It's honored to be here.
Well, I'm honored that you're honored. So I guess let's start at the very beginning, because we could definitely talk for a really long time, but I want people to learn about how you became you. So you live currently in Nevada, but you're from Pennsylvania, correct?
That is correct. I grew up in a small town in PA, and 4 years ago moved out here to Vegas.
And it's very cold in Vegas, right?
No, it's hot in Vegas. Right now, well, it's raining right now on Valentine's Day. What a perfect day to have rain. But it's actually cold in Pennsylvania. It is a balmy 45 degrees back where I'm from.
Nightmare. So I guess let's hear about your upbringing in Pennsylvania. Did you have a musical family or even a radio family?
Actually, no. No musical background in my family. I was always listening to the local radio station. My parents would always be like, turn that music down in the bedroom. You know, it was one of those things where I just loved music my entire life. And I thought I needed to do something in the music world in like the communication journalism part, like interviewing and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, but when you were growing up, like, what music that you were listening to did your parents hate?
Well, like, any of the rap music that I grew up listening to. I'm not a big rap music guy anymore. I used to listen to Eminem. Eminem was my, like, you know, my first rap CD I bought. Like, I would also listen to the Lion King soundtrack.
Okay. Respect.
That was huge.
Respect. I just saw the Aladdin live show, actually, which was, I know Lion King, I think, was one of the first, well, Beauty and the Beast and Lion King and Aladdin all have had very successful Broadway shows, but it came out to LA and I was very impressed. But I want to see Lion King, so.
I want to see that and the Book of Mormon. I heard that's
dude,
really good.
Well, that is far from Disney, but I highly, highly recommend Book of Mormon. It's probably my favorite musical. Anyway, so as you are listening to Be Prepared with My Name Is, you should do like a Lion King Eminem mashup. But so I imagine your family wasn't very unhappy about you listening to show tunes.
No, not at all. I mean, then also like when X-Men, like the second movie came out, I bought that score and I thought, you know what, this is awesome. And I also, you know, in my life, I also worked at FYE. Growing up, I was always wanting to be like kind of like that John Cusack character in High Fidelity, having yep. his own record store.
You don't want to be the Jack Black character who's kind of a hipster jerk, right? You want to own
no,
the store.
No, but look at Jack Black's career. I mean, honestly,
but that's his role. I look at Christoph Waltz's career, but he played a Nazi. No, the thing is yeah, no, Jack Black has had an insane career. But you worked at FYE when they exist. Do they even exist anymore? I'm not even sure.
Yes, okay. They do. Only on the East Coast, basically. I mean, there's some in California in Moreno Valley.
Okay.
So I know that because I visited there about 2 years ago and shopped there. But I know, like, East Coast, my small town mall back in PA still has it. The one I worked at and a couple other places, but I'm not sure. Like, I know in Vegas we don't have any because we have local record stores here.
Well, I remember, you know, when FYE had a fantastic sale on a record for $17.99 for a CD. That was great.
That was the day. Now they used to have them. Now they have them for like $9.99, $7.99. And like now you go into Target and you realize the CD you bought when it first came out is now on sale for like $3. It's like, really? Like, what's going on here?
What's going on is, unfortunately, people aren't buying actual physical products or even paying for music. They're paying for Spotify memberships. We can get into that in a bit. But the thing is that, I don't know if you saw this, but Best Buy even announced that they're removing altogether. And I always had noticed for the past few years how small the sections were. It used to be like a rock section, a pop section, R&B section, and then it just became one giant rock, pop, R&B section that took up maybe a few meters of space. It was just pretty wild how
I did see that, and I read it and I was like, wow, by end of year or by July they're trying to do that. And I'm like, really, Best Buy? Like, you know, good for them. I mean, honestly, if they want to get out of the game, I mean, honestly, you have a lot of stores trying to get out of that game. And, you know, CDs, people, I love CDs still. I mean, I still try to buy CDs, but also I'm more on the vinyl route now because I think vinyls are more efficient to be collectibles.
Well, the thing is that actually vinyl sales have gone up. And and now I have a good vinyl collection. And yeah, CDs. My wife actually told me, and I still do it. I hope she's not listening to this one. But I still buy CDs, but she told me if I buy any more CDs, she's going to cut my head off because they just take up so much space. And I'd like to have a head. So anyway, so were you working at FYE when you were in high school, or what was the deal there?
High school and college. My first job was at McDonald's in 98. Okay. And then from there, I worked there 3 years, and then when the opportunity came about to become a seasonal employee at FYE, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to leave McDonald's, leave the fast food industry, and go sell records. And I mean, that's how I found out about like a lot of the bands I grew up listening to after the fact of having a job, like Mayday Parade, The
who
Matches.
Who were on your show.
And, you know, so many other bands. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just said who was on your show, Mayday Parade. Like I it's funny, my assistant Emily sent me a few notes, and you know, I believe you've had several members of Mayday Parade on your show, correct?
Correct. Yep.
That's pretty great. I mean, it's cool that, I mean, I remember when they were slinging CDs back to the CDs, when they were slinging CDs to the line at Warped, and now they could play main stage. I mean, they have played main stage. It's pretty amazing. So how old are you? I don't even know. I'm turning 37 soon. How old are you?
32. I'll be 33 next month.
So you were working at a young age at McDonald's in
98. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In 98, I was 13. Yeah. So in PA, like, you could do part-time. Like, you could do part-time at 13 back in 98. And I know, like, the child labor laws have changed since then, because there were certain things you couldn't do. Like, you couldn't operate the fryer or right. some weird operations or whatever. But, yeah.
I mean, 13. I never heard that. In New York, where I was from, it was 14. But were you from, like, rural Pennsylvania, or were you from, like, close to, like, Pitt or close to Philly?
Rural. I'll say rural PA is near Maryland. It's in it's near Harrisburg, but also like near Gettysburg, like in the middle of everything, of the historical part of the battlefield and everything like that.
Oh wow, lots of history. So I guess, how did you find out about these bands at FYE? Was it just, were you scouring the shelves, or like they had samplers, or they played music in the store? Like, how did that work?
Well, you know, every Tuesday, when it was Tuesday, now it's Fridays for new music, I would be like putting out the CDs, you know, after the store closed, and be like, okay, this, you know, the album cover looked cool, and I was like, let me check this out. And like the matches was like, and Warped Tour, I mean, honestly, being in college at the time too, like during the college stage of my career at FYE, I was like, you know, people were saying, hey, you should check out this band. Or, you know, I was also, like I said, checking out the covers and checking out the music. Like, the Lesson in Romantics cover, I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is pretty cool. Like, let me check this out. I don't know the band. And the matches with the bird on the front, and also
Yvonne Dahl.
Yvonne Dahl. Yeah, just everything like that. And, like, the matches, the, you know, Matchbook Romance, I mean, just so on and so forth. Like, it's just been, like, those album covers and like Hawthorne Heights. I mean, honestly, you know, who doesn't think that, you know, the first album that they brought out, that album cover was like, wow. And then MTV, you know, MTV picked up some stuff too. So,
well, when I was discovering music on my own, I remember I grew up in a house where music was pretty prominent, and I was listening to the Beatles and the Beach Boys and the Who, but I started getting into Weird Al on my own when I was really young, and then all bets were off when I started learning guitar and listening to Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Green Day, all that stuff. So middle school was pretty formative for that. Would you say it was for you as well, or was it more when you were in the record store?
I'd say, like, in middle school, I mean, honestly, middle school, we, like, a lot of the kids were in Nirvana and into also the heavier stuff, and that's what I'm into now. I'm in the heavier and the pop punk stuff, so I'd say it was, you know, more of the record store, and then into college that was the formative years for me for when I got into music. And then, like you mentioned, Pearl Jam, I got to see Pearl Jam. You know, Weird Al, got to see him.
That's pretty cool.
When Running with Scissors came out, that was great. So,
well, while you were working at FYE, did you actually go to school for audio engineering, like, or because that's in my notes and I wasn't sure about that. Did you study any radio stuff? We're going to get into the radio stuff later, but when did you, I guess, delve more into outside of the record store and into the hearts of many?
The radio thing, I did like a year or two. I went to Shippensburg, and then I went to
What?
Yeah, I did. Shippensburg University, which is, you know, a great school in PA, in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. But I went to, I did a radio show there with a friend who now works at like a record label in New York. So he's doing big things in the music world too. And
what label? And what's the friend's name?
I think Columbia. Let me check this. I forget right now. Let me look him up on Facebook. I forget right now. I know it's a big one, and he does like a lot of, his name's JD Tominski. Big shout out to JD. He works, it doesn't even say on his Facebook. I can't even, hello, I don't even JD. Know. but it's Columbia. I was right. Columbia Records. I was like, that was the first thing that came to my mind. So Columbia Records is where he works. And so he and I were doing a show, and then like we got kicked off because people were calling him drunk. We were doing the late night shift, and then I went and did my own show in the afternoons, where I was bringing bands on that I met at Warped Tour, and they kind of frowned upon that as well. So I was kind of like a renegade.
Why would they frown upon that?
Because I didn't ask them to build my my show around bringing in bands. I was, you know, you had to ask permission, and which I really didn't know. I was like, you know what? Let me just do this because I think it's going to bring in listeners to the radio station that maybe didn't know about this band from New Jersey or so on and so forth. Like my good friends Army of Freshmen, who are on tour with Bowling for Soup in the UK. So. Yep.
No, I mean, I believe they even worked with Jarrett on some music. I remember Army of Freshmen was on a DJ Rawstar show once when I was there. Army of Freshmen was on a tour with, I think, Melee, Quiet Drive, and Bowling for Soup. That name sounds so familiar. Holy cow, I haven't thought about them in a decade. But you were doing stuff at your school, and you were just dealing with some bureaucracy. So did you decide to then go on your own? How did that work?
Well, I left, you know, I did that. I left Shippensburg after, you know, not doing well in school. And then after my last year at Shippensburg, I found out about a school in my town in Gettysburg that was doing audio engineering and sound recording and all that. And I decided, you know what? Let's go there. Let's do a five, six month program and graduate with a certificate in recording and sound technology. So that's what I have a certificate in. And
is that like an associate's or?
What? Go ahead. What was that?
Is it like an associate's or is it more like a trade school type thing?
Kind of like a trade school. It is. I think, yeah, it is a trade school. So it was, you know, and now they're like a different name, and now they're doing like audio engineering and also photography and everything else dealing with like the scene of music basically. So
So I guess after you got that certificate, were you still working at the record store, or like what's the chronology of that?
Okay, so I was still working at like the record store at FYE, and then I was like in between that I was also like for a month I was at Hot Topic, and then I got fired by Hot Topic. So, you know, it kind of was like I went back to FYE, stayed at FYE, and then after FYE let me go because of bureaucracy issues as well. I was doing a radio show while at school.
I said, can't catch a break.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. Because honestly, I was the best salesperson at FYE, you know, when they had the backstage passes and all that. I was selling them like hotcakes, and they weren't giving me raises. Basically, the store manager really didn't care, and, you know, end all be all. Like, I was just, you know, being that that normal employee that was trying to make a name for himself but not going anywhere.
Huh. Well, I guess, what was next for you?
Then I was doing some factory jobs, but while at the school, I started the podcast, New Music Inferno, which was not New Music Inferno at the time. But, you know, after some talking with people and realizing the previous name that started out the show wasn't right because it was kind of, you know, linked to some bad things.
Why? What was the name? Like Jeffrey Dahmer Productions? Like what was?
No, it was the Ecstasy Drop. I was going by I was trying to bringing in my it wasn't even EDM focused. It was kind of like I was bringing in my name as a wrestler. I was a pro wrestler for a little bit.
Wait a second, this is a very frenetic broadcast. You're pro, that was my bar mitzvah theme. What do you mean you're a pro wrestler? Who the hell are you? This is very strange.
I was a pro wrestler for a little bit, and I decided to, you know, tie in my podcast as the Ecstasy Drop, go by the name of Aaron Ecstasy.
Were you Dwayne Johnson? Like, did you go to school for this? Like, what? What the hell's going on? I want to hear more about this wrestling stuff. We could focus the second half of this show on New Music Inferno. What wrestling? I'm in shock right now.
Yes, I pro wrestled. I was trained for a little bit and was, wrestling. I didn't really have many matches, but I do have, if you go search it on YouTube, you can see me in a battle royal.
What would I have to write? I'm on YouTube right now.
RPWF battle royal. It's on my page. I think you can probably find it under JRNMI something.
It says NGW Battle Royal, the Nick Henning with 91 views. There's Temperamental versus Steve the Teacher.
I know Steve the Teacher.
Oh my God. All right, keep going. This is fucking nuts. All right, so.
or as Dickie Roberts says, and I want to give a big shout out to Dickie Roberts because that's Nuck and Futz. Okay. If you guys watch that movie.
Ha, ha, ha. So what was your wrestling name? The Ecstasy or?
So Aaron Ecstasy. E-R-O-N. Kind of like Aaron.
Bucciarelli.
Bucciarella, the former drummer of Hawthorne Heights. I was like, you know what? That sounds like a cool name to go by. But I will look it up for you. I'll send you the link and we can find out where it is. It's actually probably on my page.
This is nuts. Mr. Ecstasy.
I didn't know you didn't know that.
No, yeah. I didn't know that. I think that now I'm haunted the rest of my life. So when did you stop doing suplexes and start focusing more on the radio? Because I heard a rumor you could really get hurt doing the wrestling, but I don't know too many people who are hurt with podcasts or anyone.
It was a quick thing. My parents didn't really want me to do it, and my cousin and I were the ones one of my cousins was actually doing it, and then we were like, my other cousin and I were like, we really want to do this. And the one cousin who I was getting trained with actually is now he's a school teacher and also a referee back home. But I stopped it because I was like, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. I'm not really a gym rat. I don't like to be in the gym. I don't like to work out all the time. So I don't have that time. And I was like, you know what? Let's focus on a podcast. Let's get to the world of people that want to know more new music and, branch out. Honestly, I get tons of emails now. Honestly, the show's been going on for almost a decade. This July will be 10 years.
Wow.
of the show. And honestly, I get emails as I'm on the air here with you, I'm getting 5-10 emails, every 5 minutes or so. Okay, wow. let's get your band on the show.
Look at you, Aaron. It's pretty wild that you have all that. Well, we'll get to, I guess, the start of New Music Inferno as soon as you stop doing the drug Ecstasy. So stick around for this wonderful episode of Waldman's Words with Mr. Aaron Ecstasy, John Rankin, or whatever the fuck he's going to do next. Hello, we are back with Mr. John Rankin of Waldman's Words. I'm not sure how much more I'm going to be talking about his wrestling career or winning the King of the Ring in 1994, but let's go to the New Music Inferno, shall we? So after, you said that the show's been going on for 10 years, so what actual business frameworks did you do? Because there's lots of different ways to broadcast shows then. So how did you do it? How did you market it? And how did you start?
How I started was, it was crazy. It was MySpace. MySpace was out there, right? So not this crappy MySpace that we have now, but the MySpace we had then, I was friends with some wrestlers from the local indies. And also, I was like, the one wrestler was going to be on a show with somebody on the website that I work with, Blog Talk Radio. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna call in. I'm going to be part of the show. I'm going to, have a little fun. And then I realized, this guy wanted me to do the host's show. And I was like, you know what? Let me do the host of the show, because he was having some issues with money or whatever and couldn't really do the show from his computer or whatever. And I was like, you know what? Let me do it. I found out on the website how easy it was to host a show. And at the time, they weren't charging for people because people weren't really using the site to do podcasts right away. Honestly, that was, 10 years ago. So I decided to go out there and start my own show. I was going by, you know, like I said, Aaron Ecstasy, you know, and then I was like, you know what? I've, you know, talked to people, my school teacher at the Pennsylvania Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, and he was like, you know what? This is, you should change it up. Honestly, Aaron Ecstasy, the Ecstasy Drop, kind of really doesn't go hand in hand with what you're trying to promote. And also, like the drawing point was that people, that one person came into the chat room and was like, so are we talking about drugs here? I'm like, no, we're talking about music. And I'm like, that's it. I'm changing the name. And that's how New Music Inferno was born. And now we are here 10 years later doing a podcast.
Now you're on a different one talking about it. What does New Music Inferno mean? I mean, it kind of sounds like Armageddon. Like you're going to die in agony, but you can also listen to the latest Cardi B song.
That is wrong. Cardi B is not on my show. But I mean, honestly, if Cardi B wants to be on my show, I mean, I'd love to have them. But my basic model for New Music Inferno is I'll get emails from publicists, or like I'm listening to Spotify and I find a band that I don't know anything about, or maybe, you know, doesn't have a lot of plays, but I like what they have to offer on the music side, and I'll email them and bring them on the show and have them on the podcast on Wednesdays or whenever they can make it, you know.
So Wednesday's your day. So Wednesday, the day that you're doing this show, is your day. Who are you interviewing today?
Today, I'm not actually interviewing anybody today because it's Valentine's Day. So I'm taking time out for the wife and to actually drive around town and pick people up and take them to their destinations via my other job, which is a Lyft driver, like other musicians and fellow podcasters probably do too.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, especially out in LA. We can get into that. So when you started this, were you were doing this at home in Pennsylvania, but when did you move to Nevada? I know I pronounced it right, Nevada, right? It's not Nevada. Yep. Why and when did you move there?
It'll be in April, it'll be 4 years. Moved here because my wife, when she was my fiance, we were like, we came out here for New Year's. And we were like, hey, you know what? This would be a great place for us to get out of PA, start anew, and bring the podcast along. And that's the main reason the podcast was going to grow. We were going to have a team. We were going to do everything. And, you know, kind of the team aspect of things is kind of hindering for me because people want to get paid. And I don't have the money to pay people to work with me. So, but yeah, that's why we moved here, to grow the podcast and just be out of the small town, because nobody really cared about the podcast when I was in a small town. I mean, bands were getting on the show, but it was like I was trying to work, had to work harder to get to where I wanted to be, and I felt Vegas was a turning point for where I wanted to be.
When you were doing the show, when you were first starting, can you give shout outs to some of the bands that were among the first? The notes I have, Chase Atlantic, Pennywise, of course, the band Film Speed that I manage, and you've had Lido Beach, which is this weirdo named Scott Waldman, and Greenlight Theory, which is also a weirdo named Scott Waldman. So talk about some of the other bands that you've had on the show.
Oh, I want to give a shout out to Carlotta, who's no longer a band. I saw them on tour with like Saving Abel and a couple other bands, and Pat Brown of
Sing It Loud, right?
Sing It Loud, yep. The now defunct Sing It Loud.
And Hoodie Allen, right?
Yeah, Hoodie Allen. And yeah, he was with another good person who is still doing music and
Mod
is
Son.
Doing big, Mod Son. You're pulling names right out of the.
I know my shit, son.
Yeah. You know everybody.
No. But I know a few things. I'm the resident old guy at the station.
I'm trying to think of other bands. I mean, there was like, I had Blessed Union of Souls on. I'm going through my, let's see, I have 69 pages of old shows. Let's go back. I'm going to give a shout out to Zoo Suicide, Eliza Cutts, my former co-host Jonas Venture, who is now person with me on wrestling talk shows when we do that. Years Gone By. Let's see. Night Beast.
You know what's great is I don't know a lot of these. I don't know a lot of these bands, so this is cool.
After Midnight Project, yes. Jim Gavin, The Heyday, Lara and I Newsy, who is now Siobhan, who is, you know, who goes by a different name anyway. But the Last November, The Annex, The Lords. Let's see.
Is it The Lords with a Z?
Yeah, The Lords, yep. Well, formerly known as The Lords of Brooklyn as well.
Right.
Thieves and Villains, which was on Victory. Echoes of Us, which was a local band that I met at Warped Tour in Maryland. I mean, there's a lot of other bands. I mean, the list goes on and on. But all these bands, like from 08, are like all defunct. So they're all like all broken up and everything.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, it's really hard to have a sustainable career. I mean, Motion City Soundtrack is probably my favorite band of recent history that had to end it. It happens. It's hard. So I guess talk to me a little bit about the evolution of New Music Inferno for when I imagine in the beginning you were contacting a bunch of people, but what do you think was the tipping point for people actually to reach out to you?
That is the hard. The last part of is hard because honestly, the tipping point, I'm not even sure. Like, I think once they got a repertoire with me, I mean, like when they were like, hey, you know what? This guy knows what he's doing. He's a sustainable, you know, person that can interview these bands, give these an opportunity. They, you know, he's gained enough followers. The evolution, I mean, honestly, it started out because I was either like when I was going to shows a lot back in PA at the Chameleon Club, big shout out to those guys. I'd be like, hey, here, you know, I'm John Rankin. I do a podcast, blah, blah, blah. I would tell the band would be like, oh, hey, you know, contact us on Facebook or contact our publicist, or like I would set up the interview via the publicist and then, you know, hang out with the band members after the show and they'd become, you know, become like friends to me, or you know, if I go to another show, like, you know, they'd be like, oh, hey, John, what's up? You know, a lot of bands know who I am now, so it's kind of like I become friends or noticeable, even though I'm just the voice. I mean, honestly, I don't post a lot of pictures of me per se online, but like if they are friends with me on Facebook, like you are, Scott, then people were like, oh, hey, I know John, I know what he looks like, you know, maybe comes a show or he says hi or whatever, you know.
Okay, well, I guess what shows do you think had the most people listening?
Well, the one that really broke, like the biggest one in the beginning,
when you broke the internet,
when I broke my website when it was first starting out, because the website wasn't basically able to handle it, was when I had a little boy known as Christopher Drew at the time, called Never Shout Never. On yep. The show. So I had him back in, I believe it was 08. Let me type it in real quick and find out for you, because
he was one of the biggest advocates for TuneCore before he got picked up by the majors. He was killing it.
Wow. Yeah. And that's cool. You know, and that's cool that he is now, like, you know, with people like him. I mean, honestly, with how the music industry is, to have a long career, it's great to see that he can do it. And that was back in actually February of 09, when actually New Music Inferno was New Music Inferno, not the Ecstasy Drop at all. So,
respect. So yeah, tell me more about those. What do you think about that episode brought you traffic that corrupted the internet ecosystem? It was just because he was a big name, or he was up and coming?
He actually promoted it. And, you know, I noticed that when bands don't promote the episodes,
no one cares.
No one cares. And it's kind of like when I promote it, people do kind of care. But it's like I know I posted it last night, and I know that it was kind of a degrading comment. But a lot of my followers don't interact with me, and I don't know why that is. Like, I post the, you know, we started doing, like, last March, we started doing these battles between songs, and sometimes the bands promote it, and when the bands promote it, I get a lot of votes. Like Cane Hill promoted it, and hell, like it reached 600 plus votes. So right now we have one going on that not even touched 100 yet. Like, not even halfway there. It's like 45 votes maybe right now on the podcast.
I mean, you can only do
Twitter,
so much on your own. I mean, I'm telling you, as someone who has a show on Adobe, like, I tell my guests they have to. I told you before you got on, you have to promote it. I mean, what's the point of doing it if you're not going to even talk about it?
Definitely. I mean, I promoted it, and, you know, and people were like, wow, you're going to be on it. I'm going to listen to it. And I'm like, yeah, wait till next Wednesday, next week. I mean, or today, like, as you guys are listening to this, and yep. I thank you all. And hopefully you guys check out my podcast and continue to follow Scott's promising career. That's always been, you know, all over the place, but
it's all
doing
over
amazing
the place.
Things.
Well, I want to hear about this. So, cause you briefly brought up that you drive for Lyft, but obviously to me and you, but maybe not so obvious to everyone else, this is not how you earn your living. This is a labor of love. You'd like to earn a living doing it, but unfortunately you don't. And same with me working with Adobe. I don't earn a living doing this. I earn a living as an artist manager. So I guess, what do you do, or what did you do? Because I remember you were helping like promote like comedy shows or what.
Yes,
I want to hear about like what avenues you've followed through with since McDonald's and FYE.
Well, out here in Vegas, I've had 4 different jobs. I lost all 4. Well, the first one was the comedy show that you mentioned. The guy stopped paying me, so I couldn't stop. I couldn't work for free. The guy basically, you know, said he went bankrupt and moved to Hawaii with his wife and kids and started the show there. So that's what happened with the first job. Then I went to Walgreens, got fired there because of a comment I made. Nobody can take jokes, basically, in this PC culture that we live in. And then with
well,
that,
let's go
White
into
Castle.
That. What did you say? Like, was it? Would you think it was a controversial thing, or?
It was kind of a funny comment to a nightwalker.
What's a nightwalker? Oh, is that a woman of the street?
Yes, a woman
okay.
of the street. Yes,
got it.
Yes, I said something funny because I don't know. I think it's funny that they actually do that for a living.
You know what? It's their life. But anyway.
And then the next one, I was at White Castle, and White Castle, I got fired because I let the kids use their parent credit card, even though the parent was in line in the front of the line, and they were in line waiting for food and ordered it with their parent's credit card and signed for it, and I got fired because of that.
Okay, well, so, let's go to positive stuff. So you work with Lyft now, and you make your own schedule. Do you do anything else?
Nope, I do that, and that's about it. And then the podcast. I mean, I try to build the podcast when I can and try to get people. I know I have other I do have a team of photographers that work with me, which are great, and you can check out their photographer stuff on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook as well.
Well, what do you mean? What do you do with the photographers?
They go to shows for me and they shoot the shows. I mean, honestly, they just did a good band called Rivals. They shot mm-hmm. them. They also
won
in California.
They just Rivals just released a record. I'm seeing a lot about them on social media.
Yes, they are an amazing band. Damn Souls is the album, and you guys should pick that up. And big shout out to another a guest that you had on before, Jenna Pell, for working with that band. They're amazing.
She was a great guest. She's also a professor, so that's pretty bad. She does a lot of stuff. Anyway, shout out to her. High five. So I guess, tell me what like a typical Thursday is in the life of Mr. Rankin or Mr. Aaron, whatever you want to call it.
Well, Thursday this week, I'm actually going to do a show tomorrow. I have a couple amazing bands on the show. One from Toronto, one from New York, one from Florida. Oh, I don't even have it up front of me. I should get up there. Hold on. Let me get back up here. I have Glacier Veins, Alexander Fairchild, Speak Low If You Speak Love, which is Ryan from amazing band State Champs, and then a band called Noiseheads, which are going to be all awesome acts to check out if you guys have not. And Speak Love's actually on tour with Neck Deep, so that's amazing for them.
It's a big opportunity, a big audience for that project. He's having quite a good career. So I guess we have a few more minutes left. So what advice would you give to someone who wanted to start their own New Music Inferno or their own Hour of Ecstasy, whatever you want to call it?
I'd say don't give up. I mean, honestly, it's one of those things where if you think someone is going to, you know, listen to what you have to say about music, or even if the band will take a time out to, you know, talk with you, be grateful. I mean, honestly, with this being me being on the show with Scott, I was like, when I got the opportunity, when you came to me and said, hey, you know, last year, like, hey, I want you to be on the show. I'm like, yeah, like, I don't know what to say because it's a whole cool thing. But don't ever give up. Keep working hard. Stay focused. I mean, I know I've had my ups and downs in this world of podcasting. But if you, I mean, honestly, I'd say this, jump on board with somebody that's already doing it. Help them, help you, be apprentice, and work as a team. Because honestly, without the people I had on my team and the people that I do have on my team, things wouldn't be happening. I mean, honestly, big shout out to one of my photographers, Jessica Jones. I mean, she's taken the initiative to contact the publicist for the opportunities that she's getting in California. I mean, she just shot Walk the Moon, who's also, you know, I've never had them on the show, but they are a mainstream act that is definitely blowing up with their second album.
Walk the Moon, they're huge. They had one of the biggest songs in recent radio history, so good for them.
Yeah, so, and just be humble. I mean, honestly, if you get opportunities, just say thanks. Send an email to the publicist saying thank you so much for doing this, or just, you know, do something nice for somebody afterwards, you know?
I think that's the best advice you can give anyone. You're never too, you know, big or small to say thank you.
Definitely.
So I guess, go ahead. You say something, then we're going to wrap this up.
I just want to say thank you all to everybody listening in. I mean, I'm just a normal guy that started a podcast 10 years ago. And I thank you all for listening in. And Scott, again, thank you. And everybody at Adobe Radio, keep up the good work.
Wow. Well, you're working it pretty well, myself, everyone's selves. So clearly the fact that I'm stammering means that we should wrap this up. So tell every single person listening how they can check out New Music Inferno and how they could check out Mr. John Rankin.
You can follow me at JRNMI on Twitter. You can follow the New Music Inferno on Twitter at New Music Inferno. Facebook, just type in New Music Inferno, will show up. Instagram as well, New Music Inferno. Snapchat, New Music Inferno, but I hardly use it. Bands do when I get a chance to have Snapchat takeovers. And that's about it. Oh, subscribe to it on YouTube. Subscribe to it on iTunes. And also vote in our weekly battle royal, which will be a new one at the time that this shows up. So whoever wins this week will be the champ and will face three newcomers next week.
Well, the fact that you have a battle royal makes so much sense for your wrestling career. So
yes, and I'm actually going February 25th to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, thanks to one of the local radio stations, because I won tickets. So
get out of frickin' town. Anyway, every single Tuesday night, 5 o'clock, our time zone, 8 o'clock, Eastern time zone, the show airs, and every single Sunday in the a.m. at 5 a.m., or at 8 a.m. on the Eastern time board. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Mr. Rankin, high five.